Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. The man behind the Secure ID card fob recently announced a new authentication system using voice biometrics. Kenneth Wise says this invention is more secure than Secure ID tokens. We'll talk with this internationally known privacy and security expert about the new technology and what he thinks about that RSA breach after a word from our sponsor.
Whether you are protecting a critical infrastructure or vital information, or securing a facility or border, you need to answer the same question. In the modern world of identities, how do you establish with absolute certainty that someone is who they claim to be? At CSC, we understand that the heart of identity management is the creation of trusted identities. For more information, go to csc.com/identity management. CSC, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Ken Wise is chairman and CEO of Universal Secure Registry. He launched USR as an enabling technology and authentication company. His new authentication solution can use voice recognition and works on mobile phones.
It's in recognition that your mobile phone is a powerful computer that you have on your person, perhaps missed more quickly than if you lost your wallet, you'd miss your mobile phone, and you're already using a password to turn on your mobile phone. So in effect, what we've done is integrate a better password, a biometric measurement of you, and we've made your phone more unique or more discreet with a secret seed that we implant electronically in your phone. And only when the conditions of three-factor authentication, that is your voice, a biometric, the possession of an uncounterfeitable device, the phone, and your secret PIN, when those conditions are met, the phone then can generate a unique, much longer than a secure ID card or other types of technologies like that, which I originally invented in the 80s, probably a 16-character string, most cases. But the reason we can do that is because you don't have the effort of entering it manually any longer, but that information can be entered automatically, instantaneously by Bluetooth. And it's that combination of factors that creates the new technology.
Wise believes this new solution is better than anything currently being utilized. USR's electronic wallet uses NFC and Bluetooth. It's touted as the only mobile transaction technology that does not transmit sensitive data or store information that could be exploited. Wise says the key to any technology being accepted by the public and used appropriately is to make it convenient.
In this case, we make it ultimately convenient, something that you already carry with you, actions that you're already carrying out for the most part. Secondarily, we have increased the level of security. Thirdly, we have allowed you to not only be securely identified, but to be able to transmit by radio frequency, Bluetooth in most cases, that information into your laptop computer, a corporate computer, or any situation where you need to be identified.
Wise invented the Secure ID token a quarter century ago, and it's still in use. At the time, he says he recognized that computers would become more and more important, and that users would need to be able to identify themselves in a very secure way. So he did some studying and found that there are only three ways human beings can be identified.
I coined the term two-factor because up until then, people were using essentially one factor, a long password. At some computer centers, they actually used biometrics, but those biometrics were in some cases as simple as standing on a scale. In more sophisticated applications years later, of course, they used fingerprints. And I realized that the two most convenient methods to identify yourself to a computer could be integrated in one device, a token. And if the token were uniquely uncounterfeitable, that is, it were populated with a secret seed that would self-destruct if you tried to open it, and in addition you added your PIN, you'd have what is now termed two-factor authentication. That combination has proven to be very reliable, even if people don't do a good job with their password, which is typical. The very fact that they have an uncounterfeitable token compensates for that. Similarly, if the token is lost or stolen, the password isn't. The combination creates a fairly good level of security In today's environment, I would have made a different decision. I would have recognized that you need third factor biometric.
But that wouldn't have worked in the 80s without mobile phones. He says it would have been impossible back then to put that technology in a small token. So he felt the most appropriate way was to put two technologies together.
I chose to use a credit card, which was in itself very unique. Recognizing that you had credit cards in your wallet, this credit card would be twice as thick, but it would have the world's smallest, full-functioning computer in a form factor that you could keep in your wallet. And the original Secure ID token was, in fact, a flat credit card. We later improved that with what we call the PIN pad card. That's still in existence today. And that allows you to enter your PIN on the card, but also was very unique insofar as the PIN wasn't stored in the card. That's very important because if the card is lost, you really don't have any ability to use it or abuse it. The PIN was then used in the algorithm at the moment to alter the random number that would be generated. And that actually is a patented feature of the original Secure ID token.
Weiss laments what he calls tunnel vision in an industry focused on reacting to threats rather than being proactive. He points to all the companies spending hundreds of millions of dollars to create a near-field communication technology that would radiate information from credit cards or mobile phones at the point of sale.
They are essentially on a linear, inappropriate path. I can remember in the 50s my mother having a charge plate, later a simple credit card. Those devices had your account number. Those were kinder, gentler times. They were used in more limited ways. And the industry has continued to use secret information, like your account number. Occasionally your PIN is stored in the credit card. And this is grossly inappropriate in a high-tech world that we live in. They have essentially considered it co-equal to identify you and have your account number. And the account number is totally unnecessary. At the point of sale, all that's necessary is that you prove who you are. You can then say, in effect, I'm Ken Weiss. I want you to use my Visa card for this transaction. Only a remote computer needs to associate the account number that might belong to me with the particular purchase and send the information to the issuing bank to debit my account. Unfortunately, nobody in the industry seems to understand that. They are still radiating account numbers. They're doing it with near-field communication. And it's unnecessary. It puts us at risk in a world where identity theft is real. You know, it's our identity that's being lost, not theirs. And the technology really isn't necessary.
Weiss says USR looked outside the box for safer security at the point of sale. The company knew the solution had to be convenient, and that led to the concept of the cell phone as an electronic wallet.
All your credit cards could have their account number initiated from the phone. That is, if I, at the point of sale, identify myself with my mobile phone sending a random number to a remote server, I can add one character to it, a V for Visa, an M for a MasterCard, etc. And only the remote computer can then say, yes, only Ken Weiss could have known this random number at this moment in time. To be able to send me that number, he in effect has proven his identity with three factors, and he wants to use his Visa card, so I'll send that on to the transaction processing. This is a proactive approach. As far as I can tell, essentially, everyone in the industry is trying to radiate that information in some form. Some people have, I think, misguidedly tried to encrypt the account number. That's a bad idea. An encrypted account number, if transmitted in any form, can also be used. You don't really need to know the account number, but its encrypted image can be used, at least in the short term, to make another purchase. So I really feel the industry is very reactive. I've had the interesting conversations with CEO level and other very senior management at both telecoms and credit card companies. I'm rather shocked to find that most of them take the position, we're really just marking time, we want to see where the industry is going, and then we'll just sign on. That kind of reactive behavior is not in the consumer's best interest. For example, if one quality technology were implemented across the board to authenticate your identity, it could not only represent your electronic wallet, but it could get you into physical facilities, allow you to get into your computer. When used properly, it could be set up so that when you sat in front of your computer with your mobile phone in your pocket, your pocketbook, if you walked away from that computer, the system would automatically lock up. When you walked back into the room, the computer would then be available. No action would be necessary. If the industry were proactive, they realized that implementing a high-quality approach would in fact create much more opportunity for them economically, because it would provide benefits to the end user. It would simplify things in one application rather than six or eight, which I think we're heading toward today, could protect you at the same time, give you all sorts of options very conveniently.
There would be no need to carry keys or money. As Weiss says, we'd be at the beginning of a cashless society. The idea has its appeal. But convincing consumers that the phone, as an electronic wallet, is a better choice for protecting one's identity and accounts won't be easy.
If there were a technology that couldn't compromise the individual because no private or secret or exploitable information need be stored on your phone, that information would get across very quickly. People would understand that. The convenience level would be dramatic. The necessity to carry only one device, which you're carrying anyway, I think it would catch on very quickly. I think people are sophisticated enough and recognize when there's something good out there. I think the media would probably do a very good job criticizing the problems associated with near-field communication when it transmits static information. Near-field communication is neutral. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a fine technology. But it's come to mean transmitting static private information. If that information were not static, then using the technology of near-field is a fine way to communicate short distances. If the information were worthless to anybody but the remote server, then near-field communication or Bluetooth are perfectly fine technologies and are not exploited.
Weiss was the founder and CEO of Security Dynamics Technologies Incorporated, which he sold and is now known as RSA, the security division of EMC. He has no affiliation with RSA now and wasn't connected to the major security breach last March that Weiss calls inexcusable. Cyber attackers stole sensitive information relating to RSA's secure ID technology.
When I was running RSA, every few years, a well-intentioned but rather insensitive member of the executive team would suggest for one reason or another that the secret seeds, which are programmed into every token, be stored on a corporate computer. I would have to explain that that is grossly unnecessary, inappropriate, and would put us at great risk. We created memos. I understand, my sources tell me that there are current memos that occurred before this recent breach at RSA. What they've done is stupid, insensitive, short-sighted, arrogant, greedy. And those words are really appropriate to the circumstance. There was no necessity ever to put the secret seeds on a computer that is online. They did it for their own internal convenience and put everybody at risk. The secure ID technology has never been breached in 25 years. There have been contests where large sums of money were offered for any hacker, any technology person to break it, and there's never been any success. And the recent breach at RSA had nothing to do with the security of the secure ID token. I think an analogy is that if you were one of the largest vault makers in the United States, and you built vaults that were used in all the major banks, and you stored online combinations of those vaults, which would be a very stupid, insensitive, short-sighted thing to do, and the combinations stolen, you wouldn't say there's something wrong with the vault. You'd say there's something wrong with the management of the company that would allow that type of information to be online and not in a secure computer that's independent of online access. That's what happened with RSA. They took the only secret that's critical with the product, the random binary pattern that is unique to each token. It's that seed that combined with time through an algorithm that I developed creates a random number which changes once every minute. If you have that seed, you can create a secure ID token and you can be the person who should have that token. You may also need to capture a password, but in a major espionage situation, which I think this breach was triggered by, you'll have the password as well. And indeed, 40 million people have been put unnecessarily at risk.
Weiss guesses it will cost $500 million to replace all the tokens. He says the theft could have been avoided with USR's new authentication technology. The preferred embodiment is a mobile phone that can communicate via Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and the cellular network.
The application that has the random seed in it can have that seed remotely changed randomly and regularly by a remote secure server. You wouldn't even know it occurred. At some point in time, perhaps once a week, a new seed would be sent to your mobile phone, and of course the remote server that is used to authenticate your identity would know that it sent you the seed, and now you'd have a different random number every minute, and you'd be identified just as securely. That new technology eliminates a great many of the existing flaws in secure ID administration.
Weiss wants people to recognize that their identity is the most important personal thing they have. That fact is at the heart of USR's new authentication system.
Our plan is to make the technology available to any of the entities that can benefit from it and develop it into a proper product that can facilitate what I do believe will become the beginning of the cashless society and at the same time allow you to more securely access the cloud, your computer, networked computers, etc. Making people aware that this technology exists and allowing them to understand it is my current goal.
Ken Weiss holds 17 patents just on secure ID technology. In all, he has 22 U.S. patents, numerous foreign patents, and still more pending. He holds a doctorate degree and has taught at several colleges and universities. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.